Okay, good morning, everybody. Guten Tag. Parshas Vayishlach, typically we like to talk about the encounter between Yaakov and Esav and Yaakov's ability to persevere and Baruch Hashem Yaakov's success in being able to do what has to get done. And toward the end of Perek Lamed Gimel, so we read the famous pasuk that tells us, Vayavo Yaakov Shalem Ir Shechem, Asher be'eretz Kenan bevomi padan aram vayichan es pnei ha'ir. Perek lamedal of pasuk yirches tells us that Yaakov came shalim, complete. Rashi comments shalim begufo b'mamono. Rashi says that Yaakov was absolutely reached a certain level of perfection. And one would imagine that after the tzaras of Lavan and the tzaras that he had with Esav, so life would seem to reach a level of equilibrium and calm down. However, it's just the opposite, because Perek Lamedaled is the Perek of Dina, his daughter's abduction. And I would like to take a very, very careful look at Perek Lamedaled, chapter 34 of Sefer Bereishis, and to understand Parshas Dina, Dina's abduction. I'd like to try to understand Yaakov and Yaakov's relationship to Dina and Yaakov's reaction to hearing about what occurred to Dina. I like to understand the brothers, Yaakov's sons, Dina's brothers' reaction to hearing about their sister being abducted. I like to try to understand Shechem and Hamor and the people of the city, and try to really, really appreciate this parsha, which is a complicated parsha, a difficult parsha, but it's Perek Lamed Aleph, chapter 34, really a pretty short Perek, Lamed Aleph 31 Psukim, that addresses this issue. So if you take a look on page 180 in the Art Scroll, Stan Chumash, Perek Lamedala, Pasuk Aleph, the Torah describes, Vateitze Dina Baslea Sheyolda Li Yaakov, Liros Bivnos Haaretz. So Dina goes out, Dina is the daughter of Leah, the daughter of Yaakov, and she goes out, and she goes out about her way to look about Bivnos Haaretz. And as soon as she goes out, Vayar Osa Shechem Ben Chamor Hachivi, Shechem, the son of Chamor, the Chivi, Nisi Haaretz, the prince of the land, Caesar, is taken by her, is attracted to her. Vayikach osa, vayishkav osa, vayyaneha. He violates her, he takes advantage of her, he takes her, he abuses her, and he abducts her. Pasuk Gimel. Vatidbak nafsho bedina. He feels very, very taken by Dina. Bas Yaakov. Vayehav es hanara, vayedaber alev hanara. He falls in love with her, and of course he's interested in her. Pasuk Dalet. Vayomer Shechem el Chamor Aviv Lemar. Shechem tells his father, Kach li es hayalda hazos lisha. I want to marry this woman. He needs his father's help. So that is the opening four psukim in the parsha and the perek, telling us the baseline of the story. Dina goes out. Dina's abducted by Shechem, the son of Chamor. Shechem is in love with Dina, and he asks his father to figure out a way to have her hand in marriage. Pasuk Hey. Yaakov Shama. Yaakov hears about what has occurred. His daughter Dina has been raped, has been abducted, has been taken by Shechem, the son of Chamor. Kitime es Dina Bito. That his daughter has been violated, defiled. Uvanov hayu es miknehu basada. His sons, Dina's brothers, are out in the field. Veheherish Yaakov ad boa. Yaakov is silent until his sons return. And this is really the key pasuk in the entire parak in trying to unfold, unravel, understand what is exactly taking place. And of course, Yaakov hears, but Yaakov's reaction requires analysis and understanding, appreciation. Vehecherish Yaakov ad boa. Yaakov is silent. No reaction. No affect. Yaakov is specifically quiet. Is he quiet because he doesn't know what to say? Is it quiet because he doesn't want to say something? But how do we understand Yaakov's silence? It's almost like Vayidom Aaron, that Aaron's silence upon hearing about the death of his two sons, of course, is not a silence that is as a result of inability to speak or lack of reaction. But here too, Yaakov's silence is deafening. V'Yaakov shame kitime es dina bito. Uvanov hayu es mikneu basada. The Hecherish, Yaakov, Arboam, and Yaakov is silent until they come. But what's also interesting is the words preceding Yaakov's silence. Ubanav hayu es miknehu basade. His sons were in the field. It seems as if Yaakov wanted his sons' involvement. He was looking toward his sons for their reaction. And Yaakov's silence is connected to the fact that his sons, Dina's brothers, are not there. Because the Torah then tells us at the end of the Pashuk, Vehecherish Yaakov ad Boa. Yaakov is only silent until they come. So clearly Yaakov's silence is connected to the fact that his sons are not there. But what indeed is again the reason for Yaakov's silence? What does his silence mean? And furthermore, what is the correlation between his sons not being there and his silence? And once his sons return, that's when Yaakov will speak. Let's take a look at that pasuk and try to keep that pasuk as really the key to unlocking this perek, perek lamed aleph. The Torah continues to unfold the story. Vayetze Chamor Avish Shechem el Yaakov lidaber ito. And Chamor, the father of Shechem, goes to speak to Yaakov. And again, what seems to be an innocuous pasuk, in my opinion, is not terribly innocuous. Because take a look at how the Torah continues to describe Chamor Avi Shechem, or Shechem, the son of Chamor. The Torah will continue to tell us about the lineage, that Chamor is the father of Shechem, and Shechem is the son of Chamor. And why is it that Chamor goes to speak to Yaakov specifically? It seems that the two fathers are going to talk, seemingly, as a result of his daughter, Dina, who was abducted, and his son, Shechem, who is interested in Dina. The two fathers need to speak. So Chamor specifically goes to speak to Yaakov. But note again, Chamor Avi Shechem el Yaakov ledaber ito. And juxtapose that with Pasuk Zayin. Uvnei Yaakov bo min asada. The sons of Yaakov now return from the field. Kishamam. They heard what had occurred. Now let's analyze and compare and contrast their reaction to their father's reaction. How do they react to hearing about their sister being abducted? Vayisyatzu ha'anashim. The people were upset. They were saddened. They were disheartened. They were very, very angry. So we see enormous detail in the description of the reaction of Dina's brothers, quite different than Yaakov's lack of reaction. Just vehecherish Yaakov arboa. As opposed to vayisyatzu hanashim. They were very sad, the Torah describes. Vayichalameot. So there's anger, there's sadness. Ki nivala asa bi Yisrael, because a terrible travesty, an outrage has occurred in Israel. Lishka vezbas Yaakov, v'chein lo yaasa. And again, note, we're not referring to her as Dina, but as Bas Yaakov. The brothers were terribly outraged, disappointed, insulted. The fact that their sister was violated, taken advantage of, raped, was something that bothered them terribly. Not only were they angry, they were sad. Not only were they sad, they were angry. And you see very clearly, very strong presentation of their reaction as opposed to the reaction of Yaakov. And let's again analyze that and try to understand the different reactions and why Yaakov reacted one way and his sons, Dina's brothers, acted a different way. Pasuk Ches. Vayidaber Chamor itam lemor. Now Chamor no longer speaks to Yaakov. Remember, Chamor went to speak to Yaakov. The two fathers were going to have a conversation. Now who does Chamor speak to? Itam. Chamor speaks to the brothers. Says to them, Shechem bini, Shechem my son. Again, note the fact that the father and son is always being stressed. Chamor avi Shechem. Shechem bini. Choshcha nafsho bevitchem. My son Shechem is in love with your daughter. Tnuna osala leisha, please allow us to have them be married. Vischatnu osanu benosechem, titnu lanu. Vesbenosenu tikhu lachem, the first form of assimilation, the first form of intermarriage that we see in the Torah, Shechem and Chamor, the Chivim, are interested in intermarrying with the house of Yaakov. We will live together. Your daughters will marry our sons. Our sons will marry your daughters. We'll be one big happy family. And not only that, Pasuk Yud Vitanu Teishvu, we will live together. V'haretz tia lifneichem, and our land will be yours. Shvus charua v'hechazuba, you could do business, you could live there, you could attach yourself to the land. So this is Yaakov Ubanov, who are living in a ghetto in Canaan. All of a sudden their daughter is defiled. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the house of Yaakov seems to be in a very precarious state. Assimilation and intermarriage are things that are taking place or that are trying to be thrown upon them. Vayomer Shechem el avia vel acheha. Now Shechem, the son, speaks both to Yaakov and to Dina's brothers. Em tzachin be'inechem asher tomru elai etein. Shechem says to the brothers, whatever it is, I want to gain favor in your eyes. Whatever you tell me, I will give you. Harbu alai mor moharu matan vetnak asher tomru elai tnuli asanar elisha. Whatever it is you want, whatever amount of money, flock, whatever it is that you desire that will allow me to marry into the house of Yaakov, that is my interest, that's what I want. Just name the number and tell me what it is and we'll make it happen. Pasuk Yudalet, who speaks? Not Yaakov. Vayomru Alehem, the brothers speak. Yaakov again, we don't see a word from Yaakov. Yaakov is being spoken to. But again, Yaakov doesn't respond, not to Shechem, not to Hamor. Vayomru Alehem, Pasuk Yudalet, the brothers say, Lo nuchal lasos hadavar hazeh, we cannot hand over our sister to you. It would be disgraceful for us to allow our sister to marry somebody who is not circumcised, somebody who's not from our family, somebody who's not from our religious belief, somebody who doesn't necessarily have the same attitude as we do. Ach bezos neos lachem, you know what we will do? If you're willing to circumcise yourselves, if you're willing to go that far, then we have what to talk about. So notice that it's the brothers who are speaking very, very aggressively. They're taking the floor. They're the ones who are facing, encountering, dialoguing, corresponding with Shechem and Hamor. Yaakov continues to be silent. And remember, Yaakov said he would be silent ad boam until the brothers return. Now the brothers have returned, and still Yaakov is silent. The Torah continues, V'nasnos b'noseinu lachem v'sb'noseichem nikach lona b'yashavnu itchem ha'inu lamechad. Say the brothers, you want us to be one happy family, we'll do business and we'll be family, commerce, business, all together. There's only one way it has to happen. There needs to be a circumcision of Shechem and Hamor. V'imlo sishmoelein, if you don't listen, lihimol v'kachnu esbitein v'lachnu, the deal is off. If you're not willing to circumcise, we're going to return our daughter Dina to the house of Yaakov, and the deal will not be able to be met. What's going to be the reaction? Pasuk Yuches, Vayetivu divrei b'enei Hamor. Hamor is happy with his deal. Uveinei Shechem, Shechem is happy with the deal. Ben Hamor. And notice again, Shechem, Ben Hamor. Why does the Torah continue to describe Shechem being the son of Hamor? Why does the Torah continue to describe Hamor being the father of Shechem? Shechem doesn't waste a minute. He doesn't ask who the best mohel is. He doesn't ask what day to do the mila. Just, I'm ready. I'm prepared. You tell me what to do, I'm doing it. He doesn't procrastinate. Pasuk Chaf, Vayavo Chamor uShechem Bino. Again, the stress on Shechem being a son of Chamor. El Shar Iram Yidabro, El Anshe Iram Lemor. And they speak to the people of their city and they say, Ha'anoshim ha'ela Yaakov and family, shleimim he'mitanu, they're good with us. There's an ability to reach peace. V'yeshvu ba'aretz v'yischurosa v'aretz hinei rachvas yadayim lefneichem. Espinosam nikach lanu l'anoshim espinosene nitalem. They review the deal, the treaty, the peace accord. Yaakov ubanav. Shechem Chamor the Chivi. We're going to have peace and unity. All we need to do is to circumcise, says the Torah in Pasuk Chav Beis. And then the deal will be a deal. Pasuk Chav Dalet. Vayishmel Chamor v'al Shechem b'no kol yotze shar iro v'yimolu kol zocher kol yotze shar iro. It was a very easy deal to encourage the people of the city to be circumcised. Shechem is circumcised. Chamor is circumcised. And every male in the city is circumcised. And famously, Pasuk Chafei tells us, Vayhi bayom ashlishi, biyosam koavim. This was only a fake out. Shimon and Levi had no intention to hand off their sister, Dina, to Shechem ben Hamor. Vayikchu shnei bnei Yaakov Shimon v'Levi achei dina ish harbo. Vayavo al ha'ir betach vayahargul kol zachar. Up until this point, Shimon and Levi were not pinpointed. We're not the ones who necessarily were leading the pack. But all of the brothers were speaking to Shechem and Hamor together. But Shimon and Levi, whether they had the agreement of their brothers, or whether they had the ability to convince their brothers that they would on day three wipe out every male in the city when they were in terrible pain, we don't know. And what about Yaakov? Where was Yaakov with all this? Did Yaakov know the plan of the brothers? Did Yaakov know the plan of Shimon and Levi? Didn't Shimon and Levi tell Yaakov? And did Shimon and Levi tell their brothers what their plan is and what they were going to do? And again, note, Yaakov is still not spoken. And they go into the city, they wipe out every male, they take booty, they take the women, they take the children, and they are able to overcome the city. Veskol chela, veskol tapa, mis neshem shavu. Vayavozu eskol asher babaya. Shimon and Levi go in, and they have an easy time taking hold of the city. They redeem their sister Dina. No way will they ever allow their sister to marry into the house of Shechem and Hamor. And clearly, this trick of having the entire city, including Shechem and Hamor, circumcised was only a setup. There was no intent whatsoever to allow this to go through to fruition. But let's read the final two psukim in the perek, Lamed Aleph, psukim Lamed and Lamed Aleph, that need to be understood in terms of the aftermath. Where's Yaakov in all this? Where's Shimon and Levi all this? What's Yaakov's reaction? And what does he say? And will he talk? And finally, in Pasuk Lamed, the second to last Pasuk in the entire Perek, Yaakov speaks. Remember, V'hechrish Yaakov ad Bo'am. Yaakov is silent until the brothers, his sons, return. What does Yaakov say? Says the Torah, Perek Lamed Dal, Pasuk Lamed. V'yomer Yaakov al Shimon ve'Levi. So Yaakov doesn't speak to the brothers, to his sons. Rather, he speaks directly to Shimon and Levi. Achartem osi lahavisheni. You have discomposed me. You have embarrassed me. You have disgraced me. Biyoshev haaretz baknani baprizi. The Knanites, the Prizites. Vani misei mispa. We're a small family. We're not an army. We don't have military prowess. We're going to be attacked now. The Kananim, the Prizim, they're going to come and attack us. You've just gone in and wiped out every male in the city. You've killed Shechem and Hamor. Hamor is the prince of the land. What have you done? You've disgraced me, embarrassed me. We're going to be under terrible attack now. We are going to be in big trouble. How could you have done what we did? And let's now analyze Yaakov. Yaakov's daughter was raped. Yaakov's daughter was violated. Yaakov's daughter was abused. Yaakov doesn't speak to that at all. The first thing that Yaakov says is he doesn't speak about the incident. He doesn't speak about what occurs. But he talks about the fact that his sons have disgraced and embarrassed him, and now he is under, and his family are going to be in trouble. They're going to be physically in trouble. We're going to be attacked. We're going to be destroyed. We're going to be humiliated. How could you have done that to me and to my family, says Yaakov. Shimon and Levi, what have you done? But again, note, Yaakov doesn't talk about Dina, doesn't address the story, doesn't address the incident. Why not? Why is Yaakov silent? Why does Yaakov show no affect? Why is Yaakov's first response addressed and focused directly towards Shimon and Levi, not to the other brothers, and not about Dina? And how do the brothers respond to Yaakov? Vayomru, hachizona yase es achosenu. Four words. Should we allow our sister to be treated like a harlot? And the curtain closes, and Perek Lamed Dalet is completed, and that's Parshas Dina, Yaakov, Shechem, Hamor, and Banav. And the Torah concludes this Perek Lamed Dalet on somewhat of a question mark. What has happened? What has taken place? Do we understand what Shimon and Levi have done? Did they act properly? What was the propriety of their action? Did they do what they were supposed to do? How do we understand the final two psukim lamed and lamed aleph, of the dialogue? The correspondence between Yaakov and Shimon and Levi is very, very difficult to understand. Remember, Yaakov focuses his attention to Shimon and Levi and questions Shimon and Levi's action and says, do you know what's going to happen? We're going to be attacked by the Chivi. We're going to be attacked by the Kenani. We're going to be attacked by the Prizi. How could you do what you have done? We're going to be in big trouble. Do the brothers respond to that question? Not really. All the brothers say in response is, Hachazone Yasas Achosenu. How could we allow our sister to be treated like a harlot? How could we allow that to happen? But they don't answer the question, what's going to happen? We're going to be under physical duress and pressure, and we are going to be attacked. The brothers don't respond to their father's question. Yaakov Avinu asks, don't you know what's going to happen? We're going to be in big trouble now. And the brothers say, no, no, no. We cannot allow what happened to our sister occur. So why are Shimon and Levi not responding to Yaakov? Why is Yaakov only addressing Shimon and Levi? Why does Shimon and Levi not talk about what they were going to do with the brothers? And how do the other brothers feel about what Shimon and Levi did? Why again is Yaakov silent the entire parsha? V'hechrish Yaakov arboam, Yaakov silence until they returned. And even once Yaakov returns, once the brothers return, Yaakov still doesn't address the situation at hand. Perek Lamedal in these 31 psukim, recounting the story of Dina's abduction, require a lot of analysis, a lot of detail. Mefarshim, Rishonim, and Achronim try to understand Yaakov, try to understand Shimon and Levi, their acting, their appropriateness, or their lack thereof, and understanding what they did, why they did what they did. And I'd like to share with you what I think is a bit of original idea in terms of figuring out what exactly has taken place in this parsha. One of the great pre-war mashkichim, Rabbi Ruchem Lavavitz, of the Mir Yeshiva, in his Sefer Das Torah writes, "Ha'adam ha'chi mefarish al ha'Torah hu ha'adam atzma." The greatest commentary on the Torah is a person himself. Because when you have an insight and you have an experience, it allows you to appreciate the Torah in a different way. And that sort of uncovers a insight into the Torah that somebody else can't have. Now, of course, we rely on the Rishonim, the Gdoli Rishonim, to understand and to appreciate the Psukim through Pardes, Pshat, Drash, Ramez, and Sod. But there are other ways to understand Chumash also, and that's what Rebbe Ruchem teaches us. Adam ha-mefaresh hachi tov al ha-Torah hu ha-Adam atzma. I'd like to share with you an insight into this parasha, I guess, based upon an experience. And something that I see a lot. You know, there is often a challenge when there are different generations trying to deal with a similar issue, a similar problem, or a situation, whatever it is. Younger people, middle-aged people, older people have different ways to react to situations or to crisis or to situations, be them communal, be them personal, be them familial. Through experience, often a person who has more life experience, somebody who is lived through life, is able to look at a situation and analyze it and address it in a certain way, as opposed to somebody who's much younger, who has a different approach and different attitude to deal with a crisis, a challenge, or a situation. Often the most powerful distinction between the way younger people deal with a situation as opposed to older people deal with a situation is that younger generation reacts very quickly, very sharply, doesn't take all of the different aspects of a situation into hand, but sees a wrong and wants to right it, or sees something that in their opinion is inappropriate and is wrong and will fix it. What my mother says, what my father says, what my grandparents think, what anybody thinks is almost inconsequential because I know exactly what has to happen. I know exactly how to fix this problem. I see an issue, I'm going to attack it, I'm going to address it, I'm going to deal with it. I'm not even going to get anybody's insight, and I'm not going to take counsel from anybody. There's an issue, and this is the way it has to be dealt with, and I'm going to blaze a trail, and I'm going to deal with it. Those with more life experience, and those of us who have tried that and done that, realize that that's not always the best way to deal with a situation, and there are different things to take into account when there's a problem. You can't just bring a bulldozer in and knock down a house when there's a leak. You have to address the leak and address the situation. And those of us who are older begin to appreciate that when there's a situation that needs to be dealt with, it has to take a lot of different factors into account. And just because something is wrong doesn't mean the right thing is just screaming at somebody, firing somebody, hiring somebody, or dealing with a particular situation in a very dramatic way. That's really the difference, I believe, between how Yaakov and his sons were dealing with the situation that they were faced with. Dina was abducted. That's true. That's a fact. That has occurred. Now what do we do? How do we address that problem? There are two very different approaches and reactions to take. And we're seeing that in the Torah. Yaakov is pensive. He's thoughtful. He's quiet. He's silent. She's been abducted. That has occurred. The story's over. We have her. She's close to us. She's not in danger. But now what? V'hecherish Yaakov ad Boam. Let's meet. Let's talk. Let's have a conversation. I want to speak to my sons. I want to see what they think. And therefore, Yaakov's silence speaks to who he is and where he is in his life. Yaakov at this point is close to 100 years old. He's dealt with a difficult brother, Esav. He's dealt with a tremendously difficult brother. And he's dealt with a very, very difficult father-in-law. Upwards of 20 years, he struggles with both of them. So Yaakov understands stress. Yaakov understands enemy. Yaakov understands war. Yaakov understands a family feud. Yaakov needs to speak to his sons and to come up with a plan and to try to figure out how we're going to deal with this situation. The brothers, however, of Dina, the sons of Yaakov, who have just been victorious in overcoming Esav, who are in the prime of their career, who have passion, and who have enormous energy, hear what has happened. Vayis'atzvu, they're sad. Vayichar lehem, oh, they're very angry. Ki nevala asa b'Yisrael, that such a thing could happen. To who? Bas Yaakov. You know what the brothers are angry and upset about? That their father, Yaakov, the son of Yitzchak, the grandson of Avram, the great sage, has been disgraced and has been taken advantage of, that his daughter has been abducted. How could that happen to our father? Our father is the continuity of Avram Avinu, of Yitzchak. We can't allow this to take place. They're less upset about the fact that their sister has been abducted by the fact that their father has been disgraced. And therefore, the brothers are pent up, they're angry. And they're young people who have a lot of energy, excitement, and enthusiasm. And they're not interested in hearing what anybody has to say. But they have the answer, they have the way to solve the problem. And it's for this reason the entire Parsha stresses, Shechem is the son of Hamor, Hamor is the father of Shechem. These are the children of Yaakov, and this is Yaakov's sons. Because what's happening here is an intergenerational debate in terms of how to deal with a very, very difficult problem. The father and fathers have one way, and the sons have a different way. It's for that reason that originally Hamor goes to speak to Yaakov, because these are two wise old men who can speak the same language. But when Hamor sees that Dina's brothers are going to take the show, and they're going to run the show, Hamor recognizes he no longer has the ability to speak to Yaakov, because Yaakov is being silenced by his sons, because his sons are going to take the advantage of the situation, and they are going to be the ones running the show. And from here on in, you don't hear from Yaakov at all whatsoever. Bichlal. Because the brothers, with their energy and enthusiasm, with their excitement and their attitude, Yaakov recognizes there's no point in speaking to them. They are going to do what they are going to do. They have a sister who's been defiled, disgraced. Nivala, Asa, Bisrael, Lishkav, Esbas, Yaakov, Echein, Lo Yaseh. They're not going to have this. And they're going to take vengeance, and they're going to take vengeance, and they're going to have pride in their sister and their family, and they're going to react physically and violently. And thus the Perek finishes, Hachazona Yases Achoseinu. How will we ever allow our sister to be taken advantage of, to be raped, to be defiled, to be violated? Never such a thing will occur. And thus, even when Yaakov asks the question, how could you do what you do? Because do you know what's going to happen now? We're going to be attacked. Yaakov shows a different concern than the brothers. Yaakov says there are other things to take into account. It's true Dina's been abducted. It's true she's been defiled. But there are other ramifications if you attack. Because if you're simply physical and you're going to be violent, it's going to cause a world war. The Chivi, the Prizi are going to attack. The Canaanim are going to attack. Is that worthwhile? Is this the right thing to do? Is this the right approach? Yaakov has other concerns than the brother. The brothers have one concern. It's tunnel vision. Their sister has been disgraced and defiled. Yaakov and his family have been embarrassed. And we're going to correct that wrong. And we're going to right that wrong. And we're going to go to the war. And we're going to fight. And we're going to destroy the city. And the words that's used in the Torah is the Ben Shimon Velevi Achidina Kam Bimirma. And they come, and how do they react? They react with wisdom. Because they understand that they have the right way, and the right approach, and the right attitude, and the right way to go about this. But Yaakov has a whole different attitude and a different approach. But Yaakov, however, it's one step further. Yaakov's silence is speaking to something else. Yaakov understands that he has a different approach. He understands that he's close to 100 years old. He knows that he's already dealt with Esav and with Lavan. And he understands that now is his turn to hand this over to the sons. It's the sons' opportunity to address this. And Yaakov's silence speaks to the fact that it's now time for the next generation to deal with this challenge. He's dealt with Esav. He's dealt with Lavan. And Yaakov wants to talk to them and to meet with them. Yaakov is not going to lead the charge. The Hechrish Yaakov Adbo means Yaakov wants to speak to them and hear what they have to say. And let's talk and let's converse and let's meet and let's figure out the best way to handle this difficult, trying, challenging, terrible situation that we find ourselves in. Maybe Yaakov would be okay with what they did, maybe not. And we'll see momentarily how Yaakov feels. But at the end of the day, what's happening here is a very, very strong message in terms of how different Doros, different generations deal with a stressful, difficult, and a crisis situation. The older generation has other things that need to be kept in mind when dealing with a situation and not just addressing this one point. The age of wisdom, as you pointed out, is something that speaks to Yaakov taking other issues into account. Our sister, our daughter is back. We have her. She's been defiled. She's been taken advantage of. That has occurred. Now what do you do when something has happened? Right? Hindsight is always 20/20. But what are we going to do now? And the brothers aren't willing to take anything else into account. They simply want to react. But Yaakov allows his sons to do what they did. He doesn't tell them, do this or don't do that, because he wants them to allow themselves to figure out what the best approach is and how they should handle their situation. Now, does Yaakov condone their behavior? Is Yaakov proud of what they did? Does Yaakov think what they did was okay? So if you take a look at the end of Parshas Vayechi, when Yaakov gives his brachos to the 12 sons, he speaks to Shimon and Levi, and he tells them the following thing. Shimon v'Levi achim, as opposed to the other brothers who are spoken to individually. Shimon and Levi are spoken to together. Klei chamas mecherosem, your weaponry is a stolen craft. Instead of blessing Shimon and Levi, Yaakov curses them, takes them to task for what they did.
Now, of course, the Ramban and the Rambam famously debate if what Shimon and Levi did was appropriate or not. And the Ramban understands that they kidnapped, they stole, they had a responsibility, certain civil responsibility as their Shiva Mitzvah Spnei Noach. What they did was wrong and incorrect, and the entire city was an accomplice to that, and therefore they had the right to go in and to destroy them. Because a city that kidnaps takes advantage of a woman and a young woman, and everybody is okay with that, that's not the way that it's supposed to be, and thus they explain that that's the reason that Shimon and Levi did what they did. They had the right to do what they did. But nonetheless, the way that they went about it was wrong. They could have just stole her and brought her back and redeemed her in the middle of the night. They didn't need necessarily to go and wipe out the entire city. Says Yaakov Avinu. There was a conspiracy. Who said that you should do what you did? That you destroy the whole city, you kill all the males, you take the women and the children and all of the possessions of the city as booty? Ki be'apam hargu ish, uvritzonam ikushofer, in your rage you murdered the people. That wasn't right. And Yaakov tells them that they shouldn't have done what they did. Arur apam ki oz ve'evrosam ki kashasa, says Yaakov Inu, cursed is your rage for its intensity. The wrath and the harshness with which you acted was inappropriate. And here's the bracha. Four words. Achalkem be'Yaakov afitzem be'Israel. Says Yaakov Avinu, I see something about you, Shimon Levi. You're very passionate. You have a lot of energy. You have a lot of intensity. You have a lot of seriousness to you. I'm going to divide you amongst Yaakov and send you throughout Yisrael. You're going to be the teachers. You're going to be the Rabbeim. You're going to be the leaders because you have a lot of intensity and passion. You see what's right and you understand what's wrong, and you have to use that characteristic trait and those traits in order to teach Torah. That's why Shevet Levi are the teachers of Torah, because they understand and they look at things in a very, very clear perspective. And even though they were challenged and chastised and punished and cursed for what they did by their father Yaakov, nonetheless, Yaakov sees within that reaction and within their personalities something very powerful that they could use to become leaders. And indeed they were leaders, because the rest of the brothers didn't necessarily react the same way. Shimon and Levi went into the city, destroyed the city. And they had a leadership perspective and leadership qualities that the other brothers didn't. And therefore Yaakov sees that, chastises them, curses them, but teaches them that as a result of what you are and who you are, you could do a lot more. I was pleasantly surprised last night to see that in two Svarim, this approach seems to be what Rav Shimshon Frol Hirsch in his commentary seems to explain Yaakov's reaction as opposed to the brother's reaction through this light. And in the Sefer Oznaim LaTorah, Reb Zalman Saratskin, the Telz HaRav, also describes the story and the reaction of Yaakov and Yaakov's brothers and Dina's brothers, Yaakov's sons, in this way. The difference between the ages of Yaakov at close to 100, as opposed to the reaction of the brothers who are at a different approach in life, that's what it speaks to in terms of how to handle what has occurred to Dina. And therefore, if you look again at the last two psukim in the Perek Lamed Daled, you really see this come out very, very powerfully. When Yaakov speaks to Shimon Levi, what does he say? Acharetem osi lavishedi b'yoshev haaretz baknani baprizi. He doesn't take them to task in the heat of the moment, in real time, for what they did. Because Yaakov understands. Yaakov understands that these are sons who see that their sister's been taken advantage of. Yaakov is teaching them another lesson. Yaakov is teaching them that you have to take other things into account. Yes, your sister's been defiled and taken advantage of, but recognize that everything you do has a ramification. And if you're going to attack and if you're going to be physical, there will be a fallout. Something will happen. Think through your actions. This is what I'm teaching you, my sons, who are going to continue our legacy of Avram and Yitzchak and my legacy of Yaakov. Think through when you do something what the reaction is going to be and the long-term ramifications. And the brothers don't understand that, because they say, "Hachazona yases achoseinu." We can't allow our sister to be treated like a harlot. I understand what you're saying, Daddy. I understand you, Tati. I understand you, Abba, that there are other things to take into account. But where we are right now in our life, that doesn't make a difference. We're willing to be attacked by the Kanani. We're willing to be attacked by the Prizi. But we're not going to allow this to occur to our sister. No way. And in no shape and in no form is that going to happen. Hachazona yaseh sachoseinu. Thus, a very, very clear picture in terms of how the reaction is and what the reaction is. Yaakov's silence is the beginning of him teaching his sons how they are going to deal with situations. I've dealt with stress, I've dealt with distress, I've dealt with love, and I've dealt with Esav. And this is the way that I understand how to deal with the situation. I'm teaching you through silence, and I'm teaching you through the very, very short, short, curt words that I'm saying, what I feel and how I think you should go about things. And the brothers, although they hear, they don't listen, because they have an approach in their life and in their time where they're at. And ultimately, only several years later, as Yaakov is on his deathbed, he gives them a different approach. And he tells them, you know what you did? It was wrong. It was wrong. You shouldn't have done what you did. He doesn't tell that to them in real time. He waits till he passes away moments before his death to tell them that their way that they did and what they did was wrong. But I see you and I understand you. I know what you're about, Shimon Halevi. And use this strength to be able to push yourself further, to persevere, to become the leaders of Klal Yisrael, who you have to be, when you have to be. And I think Perek Lamed Aleph of Sefer Bereishis is a very, very telling parsha for situations that occur in our lives, in communal life, in family life, and trying to appreciate and understand how to deal with stressful, difficult situations and situations of crisis. And knowing that often the strong, quick reaction, albeit that we think it's right and we know it's right, it's not always right. And understanding and appreciating to take other things into account is really something that needs to be understood much more carefully. But at the same time, we have to know and understand that there are two different approaches. There are two different reactions. And it happens to be that with age and with time and with a situation, there are going to be these two different approaches. And as I said, Shimon and Levi's decision to do what they did is subject to debate amongst the Rishonim. And as the Ramban and both the Ramban explained, that they had the right to do what they did because they felt that al pi halacha, they were violating the Shiva Mitzvot Bnei Noach. Nonetheless, Yaakov challenges them, chastises them, and curses them at the end of his life. This is the parsha of Dina, the abduction of Dina, the reaction of Yaakov, the reaction of Dina's brothers, Yaakov's sons, and trying to understand how to deal with particular situations that we face, and learning from Yaakov, learning from Yaakov's sons in terms of how to deal with like situations. Wishing everybody a wonderful, wonderful week.